You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
Highest paid celebrities. This includes musicians. This includes sports peoples. This includes writers. This includes a radio person. It's not me. It's not Danny. It's not Wes. Not Sid. Not even the Nug made this. top 10 rich peoples. This is for the fiscal year that ends on June 30th. Many folks' business year goes from July 1 to June 30. So this is how they added this up. Number 10, LeBron James, $86 million. James Patterson, that hack who doesn't even write his own books, $87 million. Coldplay, $88 million. Howard Stern, $90 million. The Weeknd, as my boy, $92 million. I love all his songs and I can't name one of them. Cristiano Ronaldo, he's that boy that plays soccer.
Right. For Madrid and developed overnight. I always wanted to say that.
Says who?
There's tax fraud charges. Apparently, it's a big news story today.
So he plays for Real Madrid, and he's a big, big hot dog. But he stole the money?
Apparently. When I Googled who he was, those were all the stories that came up.
That's my man. Drake ripped off all of his money, $94 million. He's good, I guess. I don't know.
Needs to give you some.
You know, he owes me money for the name, which is copywritten, bastard.
What I find surprising, though, is nobody knows one of his songs. Unless you listen to him, I can't tell you one. You have Bruno Mars, who everybody from 4 years old to 94 can tell you a Bruno Mars song.
Uptown Funk is going to be on everyone's lips.
I don't know one Drake song, nor could I tell you if I've ever even heard one.
When our friend Zeke passed, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen, or what to call this dumb show, Drake in the Morning seemed to make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there was a song called Drake in the Morning,
mm-hmm.
It's by him called In the Morning. So if you Google it, it comes up Drake in the Morning, his ass, not me.
And that's the only one we know, but we don't even know what it sounds like. We just know it's called In the Morning.
I wouldn't know him if he bit me on the ass. I have no idea what his hits are. He was on SNL. He was good, but it was the same old. It all sounds the same to me. I'm sorry, that's not racist or anything else. It just all sounds alike to me. Like all these girls, they all sound alike to me, for the most part. But anyway, he's rich and I'm not, so whatever.
Who's doing it right?
J.K. Rowling, $95 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this just because she just gets on my nerves so badly.
You're upset that a writer is number three.
No, number two. Will you please have your twins?
Oh.
Because I already have names for them. Her little one is named Blue Ivy, a color in a plant. So the twins, I've decided, ought to be Green Kudzu and a privet is a weed. So Pink Privet should be the other one.
I wouldn't be surprised if that second one made the cut.
That should be so you got a Blue Ivy, you got Pink Privet, and you've got Green Kudzu.
And White Wisteria will be next.
That's it. That's the boy.
Well, with the new daddy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. With she's married to Puff Daddy.
That's right.
Okay. So
at number two.
Is this thing turned up? Beyonce.
Did somebody say my name? Hey, it's me. Beyonce. Beyonce. Queen Bay. Bay. Oh, bye, bye. And it's my turn to talk. Last week, we was all at the Met Ball having a great time. We've been drinking watermelon. But the next morning, we woke up and saw the people had posted a video of us. And I was like, uh-oh, no, no, no. So if you think I condone this invasion of privacy, then you must not know about me. You must not know about me.
Maya Rudolph is so talented. I just love that. Okay, so Beyonce number two, and number one is Sean Diddy Combs. Not because of his music, because of his clothing line and his vodka. Diego Ciroc, I don't know what it is. He also had a tour, and he sold part of his Sean John clothing line. Number one, these guys are true moguls. They are this is what they aspire to be, is rich, and the music takes kind of a back seat.
That just got him there.
Yeah,
that got him on the road.
That's
and now,
step one.
You know, and now Jay-Z has Tidal, and he's married to one of these people.
I'm wondering if Beyonce is upset that her baby's daddy didn't get number one, and Diddy did. Do they get along? I don't know. Is this a West Coast, East Coast thing?
I don't have any idea. I don't know if there'll be any shootings. Just leave the kids out of it. I don't care either way. I will never understand why. And I understand music. I understand what talent is. And I know that people like different things. That's just the way the world's made up. I do not understand why these chick singers all fall at her knees as if she is the queen of all time. I don't get it. I've watched her. I've listened to the music. There are so many people who are better than she is that it blows me away. I don't understand this reverence they have for her. Can you explain it to me?
I have no idea.
Anybody else?
I mean,
I just don't get it.
Whitney had it forever, but Whitney was.
Well, she was different. She could sing.
Exactly.
And you could tell what she was singing. I don't get it. It is an image and a brand that people have been drawn into, and they bought into it.
I think
beyond that, I don't get it.
They're the power couple. Jay-Z and Beyonce are a big power.
To who? That's not my first thought. I mean,
to that world, I would say, because David Beckham and Victoria Beckham are a power couple, but I wouldn't put them in there. Angie and Brad were.
Keith and Nicole.
Yeah, different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another one who was good, Donna Summer.
She was great.
Loved her.
But that was an entirely different generation. Mm-hmm. And there were tons of those people who had real, real talent. But I don't understand why these people just fall out at the mention of how awesome she is. I don't get it, but that's just me. Today, Taco Bell is giving away free Doritos Loco Tacos between 2 and 6 because the Warriors won. I suppose you ought to ask before you just pop in there for your free chow as they beat the Cavaliers and cheated, and the whole thing was fixed, and we all know that by now. And if you bet last night, you also probably yelled really ugly words because the line was 9.5. Golden State had to win by 10. With seconds left, for some reason, a Cavalier man hit a three-point shot, making the margin of victory 9 points. Thereby, you lost the bet. It happened for no reason, and with some time left, the Cavaliers just stood there and didn't do anything. So,
I'm with you. I had the same.
It was too weird, and you and I had that long talk on Friday about how all pro sports is rigged. And Friday night, I watched this and thought, well, kiss myself.
The same thing, I had the same thought with the passing Irish war cry in the Belmont Stakes.
Well, Ellis Starr the other day said that he didn't have any faith in that horse because how it ran in the Derby. So I went over there and I took his advice. The favorite scratched in the Belmont Stakes. That horse from Japan. And so I had 7 or 8 different try boxes, and I put that horse in one of them. I bet 7 different horses to win, and he wasn't one of them. So I'm watching this horse. What was his number? I don't recall now. He broke from the gate and led the entire way. And they hit that last turn for that long, long stretch down that track. and you could watch that two horse, and the two horse won the Preakness. So you watch that two horse come tearing down there out of nowhere to nip it in the bud. And he was 6-1, I believe. Taprit is the horse. And the little blind horse came in third.
Right. And he wasn't supposed to do that,
no,
right?
No. But Taprit, but that race is real long. But for a horse to come out of the gate and lead it the entire way, by the end of it, he's going to be plumb tuckered out. And so either that was fixed or Taprit, he just held him back till the last moment, and that horse came zooming out of nowhere and wins that race. And so that
steps was... back, takes a three-point shot, done.
And you know, and the odds of the Cavaliers winning that game on Friday night were not good, and they beat them like a drum. And I thought, we just had this discussion, and I'm watching this, and I can't believe that all of a sudden Golden State sucks. Very, very
strange.
Not
with Kevin Durant.
He was off his game. He's a class act. His mama needs to calm her ass down, though, and sit down and shut up somewhere. But he won the MVP, as he should. He's a class dude. He's a bad mofo. And so good for them. And I just like Steve Kerr and all that he has been through. And I also have a new respect for Steph Curry. Last year, he was the star. 2 years ago, he was the star. This year, he stepped back and let KD be the star. Very classy move. So that all went pretty well. Rook Insurance can insure, well, I guess she can insure your gambling debts. That'd be pretty cool. But she can do pretty much everything else. She is saving families thousands of bucks so far this year, and you could be next. It's the home of the Erie Rate Lock at rookinsurance.com. More info is there, and they do all kind of stuff and can help you save money, and that's the deal.
If you're looking for ways to lower your monthly bill, how about your homeowner's insurance? It's in your monthly payment, so you don't even realize it's gone up. They'll just sneak it in there. Call Elizabeth Rook. You don't have to wait for renewal. You don't have to ask your mortgage company. If she can save you money, she will handle all the paperwork, make all the changes. All you're going to do is pay less, especially if you have a younger driver. Never add a younger driver without checking with Elizabeth Rook. Give her a call. It's 867-SAVE, 867-SAVE, or rookinsurance.com.
All right, I have a couple of relatively interesting stories about music people and entertainment stuff. And also a thing about a new swimsuit for the year. And a few more little items to cover before we bail, because we're late as always. So we'll do a little break and come back and talk about a new book about a band. Been around for a long time, and various other little bits and notes from the entertainment world after we do a break, and we'll do that after, well, right now.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
I told you, and I watched something, I don't know, the TV was on this weekend on various things, but these movies come out, and then they're on the HBO 4 or 5 months after the fact. And you can't tell anymore by the title of a movie what it's about, which is one of the problems that Hollywood has. I recall seeing the ads for this movie, and I thought, okay, it's called The Accountant. And all right. And it was Ben Affleck, who I think is pretty good in some things. He was great in The Town. He is good in some things. This movie is fantastic, and I had no idea what it was. And it started, and I thought, okay, I'll give it 5 minutes. 2.5 hours later, it is incredible. If you like smart stuff that has some good killing in it, he plays a guy who is a highly functioning autistic person with a head for numbers that is uncanny and kind of frightening. Plus, he is an assassin. So he's multitasking. And it's impossible to describe what it's about, but I'm telling you, he is really, really good in this movie. John Lithgow is in it, him, And I can't think of anybody, but it is very, very good. So watch that some night to escape the other garbage that's on television, which is never ending. Sid did find that piece for that little girl. That little girl, she was 29 years old. That was on America's Got Talent last week. In one of the most impressive things that if this doesn't kind of move you, you're already dead. It's very touching, and it'll even make you like Simon Cowell, and that is even more of a feat. So it's on our Facebook page. Miley Cyrus in the news. How long can we milk this tennis shoe thing? Enough already. Miley and Converse have a new collection called their Pride Collection. The 22 rainbow-colored sneakers use the Chuck Taylor All-Star model as a platform, and Miley shared photos of her, it says here, rocking the kicks. I love how people talk these days. They're going to be from $35 to $110. Get them at converse.com if you so choose. They might be cool, are they?
Yeah, it's a rainbow Converse.
Cool, okay. The first Batman on the TV, Adam West, passed away over the weekend. He was 88 years old. Had a good life, I presume. He was an interesting, strange fellow. What other show was he on?
He did some...
He was a regular 50s. On something.
Oh, well, he was on The Family Guy voicing the mayor, and he had guest spots on other cartoon shows.
Okay. He lived in Idaho, in Sun Valley. One person who was doing the obit tried to see if he was in the phone book in Sun Valley, Idaho. I don't know why. Sure enough, Adam West was there. But there was no phone number by his name. It said, instead, see Wayne, Bruce, millionaire.
Awesome.
In the phone book. However, the Bruce Wayne listing said, please consult crime fighters in the yellow pages. So you find that, and it said, see Batman, white pages. Again, no number, but the instructions, see West Adam.
And start over.
So you go in a complete circle. How cool is that?
That is awesome, because who would have thought that the phone book company would have any sense of humor?
Right.
So that was pretty cool.
That's great.
That was good.
We'll blame the Riddler for that one.
This says, who was that, Frank Gorshin?
In the TV show.
Yeah. The TV show was really weird. And I did not realize for a long time in my naive little mind that that show is a gigantic hit in the gay community. And it's on Logo.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. Because Batman and Robin were supposedly...
ambiguously gay duo?
Yep. Exactly right. Them tights and cod pieces? Come on.
That's why they, in the... late 50s, early 60s, in the comic, killed off Alfred and brought in Aunt Harriet. Because the DC management's idea was, all right, we'll put an older woman there, sort of like a chaperone, and then no one will think that anymore.
I'll be darned. But the show really is a little...
awful?
Oh, it's so bad, it's good. It is so campy that it's...
which was
kind of funny.
Point.
Yeah,
you've got to look at it from that perspective, or you'll just end up hate watching it like I did.
As a kid, it was on. I thought it was really cool. Frank Gorshin and a bunch of people. But
Cesar Romero and his painted over mustache.
Yes. And but anyway, just in time to gross people out for the beach season, it says here, is the new... I don't know who does this and why. The new hairy chest swimsuit. It's a one piece for women.
What?
I saw a picture
that depicts
of this.
A hairy male torso.
I'm getting it.
It is the weird brainchild of Beloved Shirts. That's the website. BelovedShirts.com, I think. who call this suit the sexy chest one piece.
It's not. It's horribly awesome, though. It is.
Is it just disgusting, Danny, or is it?
It is. Well, I'm looking at a T-shirt at this at right now, and it's Oh, wow.
They do those shirts with women's boobs on them.
Oh, that's great.
So they might as well do that. Let me see.
It's just what it says, though. It's a one piece, and
it went away.
And the picture on the one piece, it's a scale of a man's hairy chest.
Oh God, that's disgusting. Put it on the Facebook page.
Okay. And because they're man nipples, it's okay for them to show.
That's kind of interesting, I guess.
It would be funny because so many people would try and figure out what the heck they're looking at as it's walking down.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be like, something's weird. Where's something's wrong. What's going on?
I just would love to see the reaction of some, you know, pervy young guys who go, she's completely naked. Look at those nipples. Those are guy nipples.
But she could.
Then they feel confused.
A pair of shorts on, like a dude.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And people wouldn't know what the hell they just saw walk by. They may think it's Caitlyn Jenner. I don't know.
Is it flesh toned?
Yes.
And in a variety, you can get your different choices.
I'm getting creeped out by this whole thing. You should probably get a Harry's razor and shave yourself, or shave that shirt. Harry's is. Well, they're here just in time for Father's Day. How about that? This is a great idea for your dad because he doesn't want anything. He doesn't want any ties or anything else. This thing is a great, great deal, though, and this is Sunday. It's your Father's Day. So here's the deal. You go to Harry's, HARRYS.com. Use the code Drake, and they have a couple of choices here. The shave sets begin at $15. You get the razor handle, the shave cream, and three of Harry's 5-blade engineered razors. They also have a Father's Day boxed set, a little bit more, but not much, and you get $5 off at checkout with the code Drake. So if you're trying to figure this out, here's your answer right here. Harry's razors, it's the new thing, and your pop will like it, or your brother, or your son, whomever. HARRYS.com for Harry's razors. Thank you, Harry and them, for being out there with us.
Oh, I'm getting one. I'm so flat-chested that this is going to be perfect and hilarious. It's really going to be funny. Don't worry, I won't wear it around you.
No, wear it. It's okay.
Wear it to work.
We'll get some pictures for Facebook.
Casual Friday.
Casual Friday. The same thing.
Long John Silver's. Now I'm down to the nitpicking here. Long John Silver's. This makes no sense to me either. In Pittsburgh and St. Louis, those two towns are testing deep fried Twinkies. Long John Silver's. So you get yourself some fried cod and a fried Twinkie for 99 cents.
That sounds horrible.
America, eat up. That's why you got diabetes and are going to die. Fried fish and Twinkies. That's a really good call. This is a really unusual lineup. One of the hot new trends the past couple of years has been these cruises. And they get bands that are either, well, let's just say that really can't draw crowds much to any place. And they do theme ideas. Skinner did one of these for a long time with, I think it was 38 Special and Molly Hatchet, maybe. But they do these things, and they usually have a theme. This one, I can't really find the theme. Well, kind of, but this is the 70s Rock and Romance Cruise.
Uh-huh.
The 5-day Caribbean cruise embarks from Fort Lauderdale next March 3rd, featuring Styx, Michael McDonald, America, Air Supply. That runs it right there. War, The Guess Who, BJ Thomas, I love him, but why is he doing this? Badfinger, Poco. The lead singer and the main guy in Badfinger is and has been dead for a long time. I don't know who's in Poco still.
Who's in War still?
Who was the guy that played harp? Who was the guy that played the harp on that song who was a hit? Lee Sklar, is that his name? I don't remember now. War and somebody. But
Leroy Jordan is the keyboardist and vocalist. No. He's the only original member who's still in the band.
Who played harp in that thing? Did it say?
I haven't found a harp
player. So there's one guy in War, and they call themselves War. So he must own the name. And he's at war with everybody else in the band because they all hate his guts.
Napoleon.
I have no idea. But this is going to be on a cruise. Really?
The one cruise I don't get is the jam cruise because everyone is eating so many drugs. I'd be scared to be on a boat with a bunch of people on drugs.
Who's on the jam cruise?
And seasick.
I don't know, but it would be like string cheese incident kind of thing. I don't know.
Fish.
Galactic. No, fish would be too big for a cruise. Mm. So like your baby college jam bands.
And who are those these days? I didn't know that even existed.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that was very helpful. I wouldn't know them if I just don't know who they are.
String Cheese and Galactic, you know, they were 20 years ago, but I think they're still in
20 years ago.
They're still in rotation.
Yeah, Matchbox 20 is coming to town, and we were this morning. I played some of them before, and I was counting back the years. Guess how old that album is?
Mm.
It blew us away.
Yeah,
21 years. You or Someone Like You was 21 years ago. And it had all those hits on it. It was a great, great album. So, 21 years ago.
That'll make you feel old.
Yeah, like everything else does. Memphis House Hunters, they'll make you feel happy because they will sell the heck out of your house. And I mean, pretty darn quick. It's hard to find a house that you want these days. Germantown, all these areas where the schools are, is where people are moving to, and they're trying to find these homes. And on occasion, we'll get a text from Michael about what he needs that day in specific, and because that's how this has all gotten to be that detailed.
He's gotten over $20,000 of asking price. So call him 685-6000. I'm telling you, we keep saying it's top dollar, and it was. 3 years ago when he sold my home, it was top dollar and within a week. Now you can get above asking price because people need houses and they need them in certain areas. You also can go to MemphisHouseHunters.com, put in your address there, see what your house is worth. And if it's worth moving, you want to downsize or you want a bigger house, now is the time to do it. So make your decision and call him 685-6000 to get started. And he'll take you step by step. He came in my house, said, here, do this. You got 14 days. Do this. I'll be back. So it's not overwhelming because there's so much to get done that you can't do it by yourself.
Right.
So he will help you out. He's got flexible commissions. You can cancel your listing at any time, but it's going to sell so quickly you won't have time to. 685-6000, Michael Mosteller, MemphisHouseHunters.com.
Even down in South Haven, I see these signs in yards, and they're there for about a week, and they're gone.
I know.
And I go, well, wait a minute. They're just getting snapped up. I guess the value has gone up on some of these homes or something, but they are going quickly.
And in the housing market, that's about seven.
Pretty healthy, I guess.
5-7 years ago when all that was starting to flip and go down.
Right.
It's been that long.
Well, but it's come back with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. So let Michael help you. He's a good man, and we thank him for being here. I mention some of these stories sometimes, and I've got this. My age, I guess, and the era that I was in radio in the 70s was all a matter of timing. And when I was in Louisville in the 70s, that's when radio got more professional and more serious, and it wasn't freeform, but it was still pretty cool. And that was also the dawn of a lot of different bands. And this is back when radio would play this music. And these bands would come to the station, or they'd be playing some bar in town, and you would meet them and have a friendship that sometime lasted and sometime was just, you know, passing in the night. But there was a bar in town where Bob Seger played before he hit big. Nugent played there. Thin Lizzy played there. So all those guys were just around in these bars. And then in 1978, I got this single at the station by this band called Van Halen. And I thought, what is this? And it was the old Kink song, You Really Got Me. And I thought, well, this is bound to suck. and so I put it on the turntable. And it blew me out of the room. I thought, what in the name of goodness is this? So I called the guy for the label, Warner Brothers, and said, we've got to get this band in town, and I want them to come up to the station. So that, in fact, worked out, and pretty quickly, too. So these four guys came in there that day in 1978, which sounds like a long time ago, because it is. And they came in there, and they were these, you know, young guys, and David Lee Roth, on the back cover of that album, I asked him if he had ever seen Jim Dandy before, and he lied and said no. I was like, you lying. He looks just like Jim Dandy on that record, on the back cover of it. And they were great. They were funny. And I thought, these guys are going to be absolutely huge. Well, turns out that is accurate. And they went on, and that's one of the bands that I kept in touch with for years and years and years. Even after Sammy joined the band, they were in contact and were really good dudes. Things got really out of control. Now, I never saw much of the out of controlness because they were controlled around certain people. And sometimes they weren't. This guy named Noel Monk was their manager on the road. I recall him very well. Well, he must have some bad feelings about them. He's written a tell-all book, and it's called Running with the Devil. It is in stores today. I guess Noel was there from 78 to 85. And so I guess he spills the beans on all the ugly stuff that people presume go on in bands like this and in that era. Because being backstage is the most over. It's not anything that's that big of a deal. It's just not. There are things here pointed out that are in the book. Eddie got so into coke that he had a guy that flew around the world to bring him his drugs anytime, day or night. Never heard that one before. Let's see. Eddie and Dave both could drink, that I know for a fact. That came into play at his wedding to Miss Bertinelli when he married Valerie. Her family were devout Catholics, and drinking was not really part of the plan. They got married and disappeared, and they found them in the bathroom. Eddie was throwing up in the commode while Valerie held his head in her hands, weeping on her wedding day after he was barfing after they just gotten married. And that didn't last. Well, that went on for, what, 8-9 years, yeah. Maybe, I guess?
A while.
Something like that. Alex was a serious alcoholic. Yes, he was. And he got that fixed some years ago. But anyway, this stuff is all chronicled in that book. If you like books like this, and I'm not sure that the ones that go into the great gory detail are necessary, but some folks like that and some don't. But Monk was fired by the band because of David Lee Roth's ego, and the brothers were drunk and on coke and were a mess. So if you want to see this story, which I'm sure the boys are not pleased about, it's out today, and the author is Noel, M-O-N-K, Monk. And we'll see if this one sells or not.
I love that band. I'll buy it.
Oh, the band was great. They were really good guys, and they were great from the start, and they were too good, and this all moved too fast. They were too young, like many of these bands, and they had the world at their behest, and they took advantage of it big time. So that's out today if you wish to buy it.
I just don't know what could possibly be in there that would shock you.
You're exactly right, but I'm not sure I want to even.
There's something, I don't know, different about learning about bands that I quit when I was in my 20s, unless it's the Beatles or the Stones.
It does make you change your opinion of them, though, a little bit. And I saw some of the stuff, but nothing like is what apparently in this book, because they were not that out of control the times that I was with them. But But they drugs apparently were.
Drugs, alcohol, and women.
That was just part of the deal.
That was part of the deal. If you're going to tell me you had monkeys and...
Midgets.
Midgets. And now that book I will read.
And they may have had, because they... That band, that's the first band that I ever saw, and now it is commonplace. They had this... The stage was huge. And by the time they got to Dallas in 84 when I was there, they each had their own little room under the stage. And they could walk down these steps into their own little place with a bar and a TV and whatever else you wanted. They each had their own little hideaway. So during someone's solo, they would go down to their own little rooms and do whatever they did to regroup for the next act. Mm-hmm. And then come back up, and it was nuts. But yeah, I'm not sure that I want to even read it, because I saw some of it up close, and it wasn't tacky. It was just fun, and it was crazy.
Right.
But they got apparently really effing stupid with some stuff.
Who hasn't?
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to tell all book of me to come out.
Hell no.
But I'm not going to judge them for that.
No.
But I can see, Drake, you seeing it in a different perspective, because you met them. I was with them
in cars, in hotels, in different places, just hanging out. And there wasn't all the things that people imagine go on backstage with chicks and all that other crap. They usually were kept away from that. But maybe that was after the first couple of years when they were just totally out of hand. But things got way too crazy. But I still believe that they will at some point this year figure out a way to go on tour with Dave and Sammy both. And they'll do all the hits and take turns and make a lot of money and then vanish into the night. So we'll see, I guess.
That could be their name.
What?
Vanished.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.